So we were successful to start out. I do appreciate those sentiments, though, Jeremy. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to kind of start this new phase. Listen to Jeremy's message from last week and really appreciated the things that he was laying out there. It does take each member of the body filling their role for the body to be as effective and productive as it could possibly be. And as we do transition into a new phase, I'm excited to see the potential that we really have as the Lord's church, specifically here in Lima, to see the work that we have to do together. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to start out this morning in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I think almost everybody, if not everybody, was here for Sunday school. And I'm really thankful for that, because what Brian brought out was absolutely tremendous. And that really is the heart and the soul of Christianity, is image change. You know, God does not just clean up the old man and say, hey, I'm going to put on my blood-covered glasses, right? And I'm going to look at you, and even though you're going to be this other way, I'm going to look at you a certain way, and I'm just going to have your sins forgiven. It's not what God does. God creates a totally new creature in Jesus Christ that is every bit as disassociated from the old creature as your dog creature is to your human creature. Brand new creation that God makes in the waters of immersion. That is the image change. And so the reality change is there. Okay? But we have to catch up to the reality, right? We got to remind that old man, okay, that this is the illusion. This is the Matrix, right? This, the real thing is the spiritual realm. So I was really appreciative of Brian bringing that out. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to it, I don't know if he'll share your notes or if we had it recording or not. I didn't see anything on him, so I don't think we had it recording. But maybe he'll share his notes with you. It was really good stuff. And I'm actually going to take off on that this morning from Romans chapter 8, talking about mindset. Romans 8, we're going to read the first 9 verses. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. In order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Let's start out with prayer. Great and glorious Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless the rest of our assembly time together. Father, I'm so thankful for everybody who is assembled here this morning. Thankful for your church. And I thank you for our place within that church. Father, I pray that we would set our mind on the things above. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I really do appreciate everybody being here. Jeremiah was telling me earlier, he's like, I got to sleep in on a Sunday. So I guess he's finding the positive in that, right? Jeremy was commenting, you know, everybody's a lot more awake, right? So that's definitely a positive thing. when we look at this passage of Scripture, you look at verses 5, 6, and 7 in particular, see that it's talking about mindset. Those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Verse 7, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God. Mindset is tremendously important. Image and mindset determine the spiritual success or failure for each individual Christian. You know, we will talk a little bit more about the fact that God changes our image and directs us to focus on Him. We'll talk a little bit more about that in coming weeks, but I want to talk this afternoon, caught myself, about the emphasis on mindset. A mind that is really focused or set on the Spirit. The Greek word there, which you guys will learn that I absolutely slaughter Greek pronunciation. So if any of you guys actually read Greek regularly, Brenna took it in school in Billings. It's a requirement for graduation. And our school in Wauseon, it was not a requirement for graduation, so I didn't have to take it. But the Strong's is G5427, which is actually derived from G5426. So it's phronema or phroneo, depending on, you know, where you're, which form of the word you're using. But basically, it's talking about a mental inclination or purpose, mindset. Mental inclination or purpose. Or to exercise the mind, to entertain the mind. That was a little bit different to me, to exercise or to entertain the mind. We think about exercising the body. You know, I first of the year, my in-laws got me a Fitbit, right? And I was pretty excited about it. And I was talking to Jennifer a little bit in the back about, you know, I like it when she posts her her Fitbit stats for the day. You know, because I'm always looking, okay, where, oh, well, man, today's a pretty low day for me. And looking at that, we think about exercising our bodies, and we all see the importance of exercising our bodies, right? We don't want to lose our health. We don't want to have additional health problems. We want to have healthy bodies. But a healthy mind also takes some exercise. And a spiritually healthy mind doesn't happen on its own either. That takes some exercise. See, you know, if I don't exercise for a while, right, then I get back at it and start hitting it hard. No, it's a lot harder the first couple weeks than week 6, 7, going on from that point, right? You're used, your body is like, okay, I know what this is about. Okay, I'm going to obey, right? Well, our minds, we also have to set our minds. We have to have our, we get to have the opportunity to have our minds really obey. Mindset is so important. You know, revolutionary people think differently. People who make a real impact don't think the same way as the average person. You know, reminds me of the old saying, you know, if you continue to do what you've always done, you'll continue to lose, okay, when you could have won, right? Well, again, if we think the way that we've always thought, okay, we're going to end up with results that are ordinary. Well, as new creations and as spiritual revolutionaries, our purpose, our design is not to come up with ordinary results. But long before we get to the results comes the mindset. I was listening to Steve Jobs by, I think his name was Walter Isaacson. And Steve Jobs, for better or worse,
I would not have wanted to work for Steve Jobs myself. But Steve Jobs had what they call a reality distortion field. Okay? Steve Jobs saw things a certain way, and he really didn't care that you didn't see things that way. He was the boss, and we were going to make it happen. Right? He saw things completely differently. And as he saw things, he looked at design differently. He wasn't nearly the technical guy, but he saw design a certain way. And he didn't care what it was going to take to get to implement that design. He was going to get that done. And it made Steve Jobs extremely successful. He saw marketing a certain way. He was doing things that were cutting edge from a marketing perspective. Well, if he would have thought the way that everybody else thought, okay, Apple products, whether you like them or hate them, you probably have some sort of feeling towards them. So he's been successful. Okay? As spiritual revolutionaries, okay, we need to learn to exercise our mindset to really get revolutionary results as opposed to ordinary results. Let's dive into that a little bit. Our paradigm is really the way that we see the world, our model, the perspective that we see the world with. Well, we're all probably pretty familiar. Hey, my experiences, the place that I'm in life, all sorts of different life circumstances can help shape an individual's paradigm. And I don't see things the way that you see things, and you don't see things exactly the way that I see things, and we can use one another's strengths. It's a really good thing. But one of the things that happens when we come to Christ is that really what repentance is agreeing that we are going to see the world as God sees it. We are going to see things His way. So repentance is a paradigm or a worldview shift. I'm now going to see things God's way. Now, the difference between choosing to see things God's way and putting those things into practice, there's some steps there, right? Okay, I know, I'm learning how God sees things, I'm on board with that. Well, then there's a gap between, hey, I'm living that out, right? And the way that that gap gets spanned is really through Romans chapter 8, setting our mind on the things with the things of the Spirit. We're probably pretty familiar with Proverbs 23, but let's go there. I don't think that you can have a sermon about mindset and not go to Proverbs 23 and verse 7. For as he thinks within himself, so he is. Okay, you know, there's some contextual stuff there, but the point is, as a man thinks within himself, so he is. I like the old saying, if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you can't. Either way, you're right. Right? Those people that really think that they can are going to find a way to make it happen. Those people that think that they can't, they're going to find a way, okay, to sabotage themselves into failure. Well, when we're talking about Christianity, Christianity is really taking place inside of our minds. That's where we process the information that God communicates to us. Christianity is taking place inside of our minds. So then where our mind is set is incredibly important to our spiritual success. Where is my mind spending its time? What is entertaining my mind? Questions to ask ourselves. What kind of exercise am I putting my mind through? Am I letting it deteriorate? Is my mind becoming a mind couch potato? Or am I really setting my mind on the things of the Spirit? What am I choosing to focus on? Is another question I think that individually it's important that we ask ourselves. Because God's desire is for us to live out the abundant life. And so if we're going to live out that abundant life, it's going to come back down to mindset. One of the keys, one of the phrases that I've heard that I really like is, our mind, our mouth, and our emotion all have to be directed. There's a reason why it starts with mind, okay? Because where your mind is set is where your mouth goes. Where your mouth goes is where your emotion is going to follow. God has set that up in that way so that, I know we've been going through cleansing on Wednesday nights, right? Okay? Well, again, good in, good out, right? Bad in, bad out. It works every time. It works for the people of flesh. It works for those of us who are brand new creations by the Spirit. Good in, hey, we get good out. Good into here, good comes out of here, and we follow where our mouth goes. Hey, that's exciting because guess what? He gives me control of what I put into here. And not only does he give me control of what I put into here, he gives me his Spirit to transform me into the very image and glory of God. That's exciting. It is really exciting. And so mindset is incredibly important. And the people of this world even know that. I like to look at quotes when I'm looking up a topic, and you know, I typed in mindset and looked for quotes for mindset, and I mean, there's just a tremendous amount of quotes. But one of the things that kept standing out is that there was a bunch of top flight athletes that were talking about mindset. I saw quotes from, you know, Curt Schilling, Roger Clemens, Freddie Adu, Lionel Messi, Russell Wilson, James Harden, all talking about mindset. Well, these are guys that are at the top of their athletic profession, and they're talking about what's going on inside of the mind. Athletics, by nature, is very physical. And if that is determined by the mind, how much more is the rest of our lives determined by the mind? Athletics is, you know, hey, you got to have some talent, right? And all of these guys with all of this talent says the difference between the winners and the losers is mindset. How much more for us spiritually is the difference really mindset? So that's true from a tangible measure. How much more in reality? How much more in the spiritual realm? Our mindset really does either set limitations on us or propel us to unimaginable heights. And it's important for us to honestly evaluate and examine our individual paradigm. How's our mindset working for or against us? As individuals, what limiting self-talk do I impose upon myself? Right? I can't ever be, I can't ever do. Again, the scripture's there, right? We quote and we rely on Philippians 4:13. That's good. It's important. But do we really believe it? Or are those just words? I can't. I think it was Mr. Wilson that said there were certain words that they were not allowed to say in the Wilson household growing up. And at the very top of that list was can't. There are certain things that we won't do, There are certain things that we don't do. But we are not going down the Kant road. We're not even, those words, not allowed, right? I kind of like that perspective, right? In the scripture, hey, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And a lot of times we put limiting paradigms on ourselves, okay, and then we live up to that limiting paradigm. But if we take those limitations off and realize that the truth is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, it is the Spirit who can accomplish much. We can have life and peace through the Spirit who indwells us. And a lot of times we don't only do this as individuals, as businesses, right? Businesses have paradigms. We just have this niche, right? We are just a, going back to the Steve Jobs example, he didn't see Apple as simply a computer company, right? That was way too limiting, right? And I think that still Apple only has like a 5% share of the computer market. But you take out your little music playing device, almost everybody has what? An iPod, right? Because he said, Apple is an entertainment business. We're not a computer business. We're an entertainment business. So as a CEO, okay, he could have put this limitation, this completely self-imposed limitation that, hey, we're a computer company. That's what we do. We do computers. Hey, they could have been a computer company. That's really what Microsoft did. Because when Microsoft had a hard time then getting into the music industry. The Zune, was it called the Zune, I think it was. It had all the same features as an iPod. Nobody wanted a Zune. It was Microsoft's computers. Everybody saw it that way because of limitations that were put on by each company's CEO. Sometimes we do this as spouses. Yeah. I'm just this way, or she's always going to be that way, right? Well, wait. If I'm growing, and the Lord's working on her and she's growing, why would I put any sort of limitations on what God can do in me or what God can do in her? Our kids, you know, we try really hard not to, okay, but it happens sometimes. Sometimes we set limitations on ourselves as coaches, as mentors. But really, our paradigm individually makes all the difference on whether we're going to be propelled to those great heights or whether we're going to set those limitations on ourselves. Because as Romans 8:6 says, the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Now, does anybody in the world want a little bit of peace? People will do just about anything to be able to get themselves some peace. They'll try just about anything to be able to get some peace. And a lot of times what they're trying to do is they fill that hole that they wish that peace was there with all sorts of destructive things, right? Because they're really just looking to have some peace. Okay? And the mindset on the Spirit, Scripture tells us, is life and peace. It's right there, Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. Mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Okay, and but as Christians, okay, sometimes, right? I mean, hey, the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. I understand what you're saying. But sometimes, as Christians, like, man, mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. I wish I had a little bit more life and a little bit more peace. You want to be honest, right? I mean, if we don't live in the realm of honesty, We can't purposefully evaluate where we're at and be able to move forward, right? So, hey, sometimes, hey, I want a little bit more life and I want a little bit more peace. Well, I know the problem isn't on God's end, right? His spirit is there and accessible for me as a Christian always. All the power of the Godhead dwells inside of you if you're a Christian. So, it's not on God's end, but still, Marshall, not always super peaceful, right? Life is sometimes kind of a grind, right? So, what's the deal here? And on the other hand, if you're like, yeah, hey, I have quite a bit of peace. This is the abundant life. We want to focus on that and see how we can get some more of that, right? We want that just doesn't happen by accident. We want to make sure that we can get that more as a Christian. So we don't need to go over Romans 8 verses 9 through 11. We know that Christ dwells inside of us. The scripture affirms who we are. The Spirit of God does dwell inside of us as Christian. And so we have the power. It's there. And God's Spirit, as I referred to before, is every bit as capable within you as God's Spirit was within Jesus when Jesus walked around here on the earth. Every bit as capable. Okay? And the scripture has that, the scripture tells us that we then have that same spirit. It's who we are. Our image has changed. And so when we're looking at our experience and comparing that, the answer is to really examine our mindset. Okay, life and peace is what the mindset on the spirit produces. We're in Christ, we know that we have the Spirit. So then, if we're not experiencing life and peace, or we just want to be experiencing more of the life and peace that we are already experiencing, hey, the point is to look at our mindset. How can we make adjustments? Well, I think that this morning was I was going to refer to the fact that we were all talking about it being morning when it's the afternoon, because we have that habit, right? For however many years that we've been assembling, we assemble on Lord's Day, and we assemble Lord's Day morning. So especially if you're up here, right, you're used to referring to the morning, right? It's a habit that we have. And almost every guy who's been up here this morning, I honestly am not trying to. This afternoon, I guess that's a good thing. I made my point, right? This afternoon, okay, has made that mistake. And the reason why is because that habit is entrenched further than what we recognize, what we realize. Well, people don't just have physical habits. And some of those physical habits are really easy to recognize. Morning versus afternoon, right? Somebody comes into Christ with certain apparent bad habits. But we also have a lot of mental habits. And sometimes, because those mental habits are not as readily apparent, or maybe we're the only ones who know about those mental habits can sometimes get overlooked. But we come into Christ, we have some mental habits that we then have to adjust. We have new patterns, new thought patterns that we have to implement to be able to have our mind be set on the things of the Spirit. And those old patterns really are traps. Somebody was referring earlier, I think it was Joe, was talking about that old man, right? He went to Ephesians chapter 4. He's talking about how that old man
He needs to stay dead, right? We don't need to go back there and go visiting him. We need to implement Ephesians 4, verse 24. You know, you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God is being created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. That's where our mind needs to go as Christians. But we can know that, we can believe that, but those old thought patterns are there as traps, right? So adjustments then are made on the part of the Christian. And part of the Christian life is getting all of our thoughts on board with his thoughts. We want to set our mind on the things above so that our mindset matches the mindset of Christ. Our new paradigm needs to be reiterated so that our subconscious mind can really absorb the new spiritual reality. Well, that takes some renewal. Personal renewal, okay, is what it's going to take to change an individual's mindset and mental habits. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Well, our mind needs to be renewed. Okay? And that personal renewal, there is no substitute, there's no workaround. Personal renewal is irreplaceable to our growth as Christians. And our mindset really determines how we interact with the world around us. It's kind of interesting. When challenges come up, it's interesting to see how people interpret those challenges. Some people interpret challenges as judgments, right? I get an A on my test, I'm a smart kid. I get an F on my test, I'm a dumb kid. And I'm always going to either be, if I got an A, I'm always going to be a smart kid. If I got an F, I'm always going to be a dumb kid. Now, none of us would encourage our kids to think that way, right? But a lot of times when we come up against challenges, okay, there is a tendency for us to view that challenge as a judgment. If I don't quite measure up to this challenge, and this challenge is difficult for me, I am less than. There's another group of people that view challenges as an opportunity for growth. It's an opportunity to learn. I was reading a book recently where they took a group of kids and they gave them these puzzles, and the puzzles were, it was like third grade kids, and they were really difficult puzzles. And there were kids that got incredibly discouraged because they couldn't do the puzzles nearly as well as they would have liked. They had this expectation of how the puzzle should be, right? And they weren't living up to that expectation. And then there was a group of kids who they had these difficult puzzles, and they were invigorated. They're like, this is fun. Can I take this puzzle home, right? Because this is really hard, and I'm having a good time figuring the puzzle out. Well, those kids were doing the same puzzles and a lot of times had the exact same intellect that they were coming into it with. But those kids didn't view that as, I'm dumb because I can't do this puzzle. It's like, hey, I get this opportunity to learn, because I can't do this puzzle right now. I'm going to figure this thing out. Well, you have that kind of a growth mindset, get stuff done.
because you're not worried about the judgment. God's system of grace allows us to view those challenges as learning experiences. I'm not constantly getting judged based upon my performance. He's done away with all that. That's gone. So that allows me, hey, to get my mindset on par with his, because his grace allows me to view every single challenge as an opportunity for growth. I don't have to worry about the rest. I live by faith. And so the way that we view those challenges is actually really important to our growth as Christians. God has given us his grace to be able to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. Instead of constantly making value judgments on ourselves, our performance, or our status, when we come up against challenges, we can know that we are empowered by the Spirit of God and that we have an opportunity to learn. Challenges then become exciting because our mind truly has changed. We are prepared for the next challenge. So lastly, my encouragement this week for us, as we continue to look at mindset over the next couple weeks, is what are you looking for? How are you exercising your mind? Where are your eyes going spiritually? See, because I thought that Brian brought out a good point. We're familiar with terms like set your mind on things above. Look up. Think about the holy things. But what's that really look like in our day-to-day life? Are we seeing all of the negative things in the world and spending our time processing, focusing, thinking about all of the negative? Or, okay, do we set our mind on the nice, peaceful night I was able to have around the dinner table with my family? See, a lot of times that's not exactly where our minds go when we think, set your mind on things above. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Right? Those things, hey, do we have some of those experiences in our lives? Well, yeah. Is that where I'm going to spend my time having my mind dwell? Man, there's some things that are from the Spirit here that I can spend some time thinking about. I don't have to bring my nasty boss home with me, right? Huh? Right? Hey, that's real, right? Just spend time. Hey, you don't have to, right? Hey, I get to come home. My wife, and we get to spend some time. Hey, great, right? See my kids, right? That applies. I get to see my dog. yeah. Hey, set your mind on the things of the Spirit, on the things above. Coaches, a lot of you guys are familiar that I did quite a bit of basketball officiating for a number of years. And one of the things that coaches try to do kind of pregame is they want to plant a seed in your mind, okay? So everybody's smiling and shaking hands before the game, and, you know, it's good to see you again, and, you know, everybody's having fun before tip, right? But they'll plant a little seed. Hey, that pretty big boy there, that 52, he can really move some people. Well, what's he telling me? Oh, watch 52 over the back, right? I saw some tape there. Right, he's trying to plant a seed in my mind as an official to look at a certain thing. As an official, sometimes I'm paying attention. Hey, is this a rivalry game? Okay. Am I going to need to be a little bit, assert myself a little bit more to make sure that everybody keeps themselves cool and calm and collected, right? And so the point is that as an official, I was looking for certain things. And coaches do that because it works. He wants you to pay attention to something in particular. So then if something's kind of close, right, you've already had a seed planted,
It's already in your brain. Oh, it probably was. I better call a foul. Right? Well, rivalry game. You know, kids start jawing. You think you see something. I better step in there a little bit quicker. Right? Because that's where my mind is at. Well, for us, where our mind is at determines where we go. What part of the fruit of the Spirit are we seeing in ourselves? Are we focusing on that? See, the Spirit produces those things. Spirit produces as a package love, joy, peace, etc. Do we focus on those areas that we see within ourselves? I see God producing within me love. Well, that's one that's over a period of time. Hey, pretty easy for me to see how the Spirit has developed more love within me. Okay, well, am I focused on that? Joy, peace. Are you focused on how God has developed those things within you as an individual? And then you can bring that out to your circle as well. Do you see that in a brother or a sister? Am I focused on, hey, this is what God has produced in Joe. This is what God has produced in Reuben. Okay? I can see that's where I'm focused on with my brothers and my sisters. Hey, God is producing his fruit within them. Is that where our mind is dwelling and finding those things in others? So let's determine to focus on the things of the Spirit. He is the rivers of living waters. He is the refresher of our soul. And so this week we can really focus our minds so that we can receive more of that spiritual refreshment that we so desperately need. We have our minds set on life and peace. And if we get our minds set over to the Spirit gives us the power. I'm going to read Colossians 3, verses 2 through 4, and then Jeremy can just come on up. Colossians chapter 3. Starting in verse 1. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory.
Four 14, let's all